Hey guys, this is Elliot. Right before you get into the podcast, just want to let you guys know, if you guys are interested in following Defenders of the Bridge, Lions FC, or Ben Goosehorn's podcast, Amateur Hour Soccer, you can go into the, I guess you call it the notes section on podcast. I'm just going to call it that because I don't know the proper name for it. We have all the links there for you guys. So you guys can go check them out, support. You know, we're big on supporting your local soccer. Also, there's a little quick description of the podcast. We have great interviews from Defenders of the Bridge, Lions Bridge FC, head coach Christopher Wally, Mike Vest, David Bielo, Joe Rice, and so much more. So kick up your feet, enjoy the podcast, and have a good time. Remember, share, like, and subscribe.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93. Normally, it is your normal co-host, me and Shanier. We are joined by three special guests. If you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Carl Hansen, President, Defenders of the Bridge.
Sean Little, loyal compatriot.
And Scott Hines, Defender of the Bridge.
So, for your first question, we just wanted to know, did you guys have like a Star Wars TIFO or anything? Defenders of the Bridge just wanted to know.
No.
We're trying to raise money for one. So, if there's anybody out there that wants to put their logo on it, we'll be glad to do
That's
it.
Right.
So, how did you guys come up with the name of Defenders of the Bridge?
It's a great story. Scott?
I was on vacation last summer at Lambeau Field.
Wow.
And
it's the farthest way from Newport.
Right. Summer vacation on the way home, we stopped to see Lambeau Field, and I pulled in the parking lot, and Lambeau Field's in a neighborhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, along the back fence of this neighborhood, it said Defenders of Lambeau.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I said, hey. So, then I sent Carl a text that said, I think I found a name.
Not gonna lie, that's a pretty unique name.
Yeah, so yeah. Defenders of Lions, Defenders of the Bridge.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, talking about Lions Bridge and everything, that how impactful is the club to the city of Newport News? We were talking about it earlier.
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. It's something for the kids to see, something for the adults to enjoy. It's a lot of community involvement, and it's something we cherish in this city right now.
Well, I've lived in this area since 1978, and it's a pretty good soccer town, and we never thought we'd see a club here, and I think it's grown exponentially. What did we get last week? 3,200 people? That's crazy for a soccer game
that's
in Newport News.
Amazing to think.
In Newport News, that's crazy.
Exactly. That was the July 3rd game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, like there's some League One clubs that don't even draw those kind of numbers. And to have that
and
here.
Not anywhere close.
Yeah, to have that here.
It's a good $10 show.
It really is.
That definitely is. $10 to come see that? Not bad.
I'm all for expanding the game. I mean, Lions Bridge is a good ambassador. They provide free clinics for kids that maybe never kicked a soccer ball before. So we're finding and putting the game in front of people that have never seen a soccer game. A lot of recreational kids that maybe don't watch the Gold Cup, or dad doesn't play soccer, or mom never grew up with a game, and they can be able to see a game that's a pretty good level. It's not a professional level, but it's as good as we can expect in this area.
I mean, going more into that, you guys, I know, do a lot for the community. Can you talk some more about the community stuff? You guys, you went into it a little bit before about how you're doing the clinics. Is there anything else your supporters group is doing?
Well, I mean, we have to separate ourselves between Lions Bridge and Defenders of the Bridge. So Lions Bridge does a lot of things for the community.
Yeah.
But Defenders of the Bridge, we have a service component to our organization. So we've raised money for a lot of different organizations and groups in the area. And I'll let Carl talk about a couple of the highlights of this year. But that's probably what we're most proud of. But not so much the soccer thing. Yeah, we're supporting the team and making some noise. But we're connecting with some people in our community that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Our first thing that we did at the beginning of our formation was we rang the bell for Salvation Army during Christmas time. We had a great time doing that. We had a toy drive for Children's Hospital of the King's Daughter. You know, we had different locations throughout the peninsula. We had boxes. We had a big Christmas party at one of our sponsors. You know, the thing was, bring a toy, you get a raffle ticket, We had a lot of the coaches come, a lot of the players come. We had a big turnout. But when we went and took that 5 or 6 boxes, truckload of toys to the kids at the hospital, it felt great, man. You know? It felt great.
Did they have you dress up like Santa Claus?
No. I wouldn't have to dress. I'm pretty close there.
He came as an elf.
Right. We had our first charity dodgeball tournament.
Okay.
Where
I heard about that 4 hours. You got to talk about that.
Yes, yes. 4 hours, we raised $800 for Camp Kesem, which is a group that does camps for children whose parents are going through cancer. It's run by college kids throughout the nation. So that made us feel real good, too. We do parades. We have watch parties. We're involved with the local American Outlaw organization that's just getting started around here. I do know we've reached the numbers to apply for, you know, acknowledgement or whatever. Mm-hmm. So anything that we can do, we're always up for anything in the community.
That's impressive. So one of the things that we were talking about earlier that really caught my attention with you guys is you guys host the players in your clubs? Is that, am I saying that right?
There are some families that Scott has hosted a player.
So how does that whole dynamic work? Like, how did that get started? Like, how do you guys, the whole process?
We could probably make a podcast of all of that. But the last time I was asked that by the amateur hour, I kind of spoke out of turn. So I'm going to keep it all in up and up. So anyways, Mike Best, who is one of the owners of the club, because it's a college-level situation with these guys coming from out of town, they need a place to stay. Mm-hmm. So he has it out there. So this year, 14 families donated one room to a player. They have to have their own room. They provide their own food, their own transportation, but you basically provide them a place to live for the 12, 14 weeks they're here. Wow. In exchange for that, you get season tickets for your family, which is a good deal, and then hopefully you're able to connect with the guy you're living with, right? He may be from Spain or Mexico, or my guy was from Washington State, and he's a goalkeeper at Appalachian State, so he actually leaves Friday. And so tonight, he's going to play, I hope. Oh, he's been promised that, so if he doesn't play, then we'll have a problem on our hands. He's been mainly a reserve. He hasn't been able to cut into that top two spots, so tonight's his night to do his thing. So we wish Caleb well tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel weird for us in it because we've never been to a club that is like everyone's hyped to see. But how is it having the kickers come down here to play you guys? It's kind of weird for us to be on the other side of that corner. Because you're always like the little club, like, oh, great, we're having an England Cup play. It's like, oh, my God, you chose us.
I know we're hyped. I mean, we're especially excited to see Joe Rice. We hope that he makes the trip.
I'm really hoping that Joe plays.
We really do. And just being able for our team to go up against a high-caliber team like y'all have, it's just amazing.
It's a good gauge for the young guys on the team, too.
Yeah.
It gives them a good look of what's ahead. And some of them will do quite well. You'll be surprised, I think.
I have the striker. I can't think of his name. It's like a French name.
Oh, yeah.
How do you say it?
Tebow.
Okay.
The assassin.
He's already left.
He's already gone.
Left for the summer. He won't be there tonight.
Yeah. Oh, where did he go?
Went back home for the 1 month before he goes back to college.
Oh, okay. He's not someone I was hoping, like, kickers would be like, oh, yeah, let's bring him on. I was really hoping
that. He might like that as well.
Everybody needs a goal scorer.
He's impressive. It's impressive. Another player that I saw you guys had that caught our attention is Luke Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You care to talk about him, how he is?
He's a classic 10. He kind of sits behind the strikers. He's a guy that kind of is a distributor. More of a sets-the-table kind of guy. I don't think he's an out-and-out scorer, but he's more of a guy that's going to be the playmaker. So he's transferred to Maryland, so he's going to quickly be in the big pool. He was at Hofstra.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's leaving Hofstra. He's going to transfer to Maryland. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I suspect he'll play tonight. We should do okay.
Well, this is my last question. Unless my co-host has any, he just go over here shaking his head. Yes. just talk us for your supporters group, Alec. How has things been different from year one to year two, and what is your guys' hopes for year three in the future? That question makes any sense.
year one, we really weren't quite as organized as we are now. You know, we've got a paid membership program. We've got roughly 30 members on there. So that gives us a little bit of money to do things. What, 2 weeks ago we hosted a party, a pool party for the whole team. Coaches, players, interns, the whole team. You know,
I think I saw a picture of someone jumping in the pool. Like,
yes, with the cup. Yes, that was
okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we're still reaching out there and trying to find our niche. You know, we want to bring everybody in that we can. We want to include everybody that we can. But at the same time, you know, it takes a little bit of money to organize things and distribute cowbells to everybody in the stands and that kind of stuff. So we've come a long way. And next year, we should do a lot better.
How do you guys think the team did this year?
You know, it's hard to say, but I think that we're taking a lot more positive than we are negative. You know, we finished...
Sound like us in a podcast.
We finished higher last season, but, you know, we learned a lot more. You know, so the attendance shows, you know, that's getting out there. The players love it. They enjoy the community. And I can't say anything bad about it. You know, it's our community. Can't.
Look, I can't wait to get into the atmosphere of y'all game. Like, I can't wait. Like, I've been watching the games through Facebook Live and whatnot, so I've been really hyped to come down here.
Awesome. We're glad that y'all made the trip down here.
Let's make some noise.
It means a lot. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Definitely make some noise.
No, you guys can do it. You guys can bring the noise.
Oh, yeah. We love bringing the noise. Yeah.
So do you see the Kickers having a better affiliation with us as their USL2 team of choice in the sense of trying to kind of blend some programming?
From what I've heard is that this is the first steps to building that relationship.
Right. Because
you would think, like, in years past, you had Virginia Beach City down there, but there was no real correlation. I mean, we played against them in the U.S. Open Cup, but there was real no connection between the two. And what I've seen for the Kickers to be like, hey, we're coming out here to play friendly. They know they can bring the numbers and everything like that. And Joe Rice is kind of like the first proving point of that. A player that played for you guys last year that's now on our roster. Maybe this is the formation of it. It seems like a great building piece.
Oh, it does.
It does.
It really does.
So, any questions?
I just had one question. So, when you guys started the support group, I'm impressed at how big you guys are. The club has been around for like 2 years.
You guys got like business cards, t-shirts. Not gonna lie, that's impressive already.
So what, in an area where soccer has been more seen as more of a youth thing, how have you brought so many people to watch professional soccer, to come out to games? How have you managed to get people to come in, or is it just something that organically happened?
I think that goes to the front office, to Mike Vest and the guys that are in the office. They've reached out to all the local youth organizations, and they've extended that olive branch, you know, and they all know about it, you know. The more we win, the more we make noise, the more people know about it. But it's been pretty good. The front office just does a tremendous job.
In terms of promoting and
Yes. I would say they've got the best marketing out of any USL League 2. Or maybe next to y'all, because y'all got your own app. We don't have an app. But they do a great job.
You guys got t-shirts. You know. See the ticket, so that's pretty up there.
No.
Yep. That's pretty up there.
I think part of it's a void. And we live in
nerds! For those who don't know, that is John Barnes.
Yes, it was.
I think part of it is Mike and Kevin, owners of the team, have found there's a void here.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a vacuum, right? There's no really competition. We don't have Virginia Beach and all the amusements they have. We don't have all the breweries you have in Richmond and everything else going on. So I think there's a little void here. They've kind of filled it with something that's family-friendly. It's affordable, convenient. Most of the fans are kind of in this corridor, right? So it's kind of almost like a neighborhood team in a sense. There's people from the outside, but all of us live 5 minutes from the stadium, for example. The owners live just 2 minutes from the stadium, more than we are. So I think there's a little bit of a niche they've found, and that's kind of the beauty of this, is they know it, and they're trying to to keep it going.
So this is one question, and I found myself with it, struggling with it as well. Like, even though I'm a Richmond Kickers fan, I have friends that are kickers, but they support DC United. Mm-hmm. You guys, being Lionsbridge, do you guys find yourself being like only just Lionsbridge, or is it like we're also Kickers fans as well?
Oh, we're definitely Kicker fans. I know I am. I'm also
a
DC
product
United
of the
fan.
UCROP generation, so I've been with the Kickers for a long time.
Okay.
So that's just something. It's right up the road.
But I'm pretty sure it's Lionsbridge or nothing else.
No, I mean it's Lionsbridge, but I mean anything soccer, soccer. I love soccer. You know, I love DC United. You know, you got Wayne Rooney. DC United. You got Joe Rice. Lionsbridge. You know.
I think it's just a little bit further up the road. You don't have to go very far to get my three favorite teams. You know.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Yep. That's true. That's the good thing about soccer. It's very local.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys have anything else, you guys have anything you guys want to promote? Anything out there?
No, we appreciate you being here. We'll sit together and have a good time, and we thank you for that.
Exactly.
I guess we're going to end early because all the Red Army's not showing up. Right. So
we appreciate it, y'all.
Thank you guys so much.
Really, we appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Got to hang out with you guys a little bit more. Yeah. This is the second part of our podcast. Our day hanging out down here in Lionsbridge. We have with us a very special guest, Coach Christopher Wally. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. How you doing today, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
No, no problem, man. Look, we are excited to be down here. This is our first road trip ever.
Yeah, first road trip. Big time.
So it's cool to hang out with you guys. Quick question. How is your experience? This is your second year being this coach. How has it been? What have you learned from your first year as being the coach of a semi-professional team, if I correctly say that? How has the first year been to the second year?
No, it's been a great experience all around. The club are very, very professional in the way they do things. I was fortunate. I played in the USL against the Kickers years ago, and in this league, I played for a team called Reading Rage, where they used to be a USL team. So I feel like we do a lot of things, you know, in a similar way. We travel well. The guys are treated really professionally. And yeah, we've got a great thing going on here. We get good crowds, so it's really exciting. And you know, this year we've had a good season. Unfortunately, we lost the last couple of games and had a chance to win the league, and now we're sitting middle of the table, so that's frustrating. Yeah. But big picture, with the support we get, with the community behind us and all the infrastructure and the things we've got going on, I think we're in a really good spot.
That's good. That's good to hear, man. Just real quick, how is the dynamic of your team, some of the tactics, how is the team set up?
I can't tell you all my tactics before the game.
After the game.
No, I think we're, you know, if you look at us, probably one of our weaknesses this year has been defensively. We haven't kept enough clean sheets, but we've been extremely good going forward. I think we're top scorer in our conference, one of the top scorers in the league. We've got a bunch of good attacking players who've scored goals at not only this level, but the collegiate level as well. Mm-hmm. So we're exciting. We play positive soccer, and I think for our fans, every game's been exciting. We've been in every game, whether we've won it or lost it. They've seen goals and they've seen fun soccer. So for us, I think we're Jurgen Klopp talks about high tempo, high energy, heavy metal soccer. We try and be high tempo and high energy, which is sometimes difficult in this heat.
Yeah.
But it's been fun.
Definitely.
So you have a very unique background, which you learned from your owner, Mike Best, isn't really that unique. Not only are you the coach of Lionsbridge, but you are also the coach of Chowan University.
Yes, sir.
Down in Memphisboro, North Carolina. By the way, we've already discussed it, ain't nothing to do with Memphisboro.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Besides Chowan University, and probably go to church. That's probably it. But how was that experience being the coach of a college team and also a similar coaching? How was that?
Well, you know, I love my job at Chowan. It's awesome. We've got a really good team, and you know, we've built a program there now, which is, you know, one of the best in Division Two. So that's exciting. One of my biggest gripes about college soccer is it's only so many months of the season.
Yeah.
The fall's intense, then you have a break, and then you play, you know, a handful of games in the spring. One of the nice things for me is being able to do this in the summer. I keep coaching and doing what I'm passionate about. I love coaching, I love working with these guys, and it's really cool that I'm able to work in the summers and, you know, harness my craft.
Yeah.
And there's things, you know, which I do with these guys, which will translate over to my college guys and vice versa. So I think for me, I'm always learning, always trying to evolve, and I try and use both opportunities as a way to get better. And ultimately, through my connections in a college game, we've probably been able to bring a lot of good college guys into this program. So I think it works pretty well in that respect.
Anything that you bring in from the college game, that you bring into this league, or take from here and you bring back to the college game with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, tactically there's some things that, you know, I've noticed when we've played against other teams in both the college league and in the summer league. There's things, and, you know, I'm fortunate I get to work with Tanner McVay, Anthony Moore, and then Fernando Zuniga, who's our women's coach at Chihuahua. So we've got a staff of four, you know, good, experienced college coaches, so I'm able to learn from those guys. But also, you know, we've got some very good coaches in our league as well, so I try and look at what those guys are doing, and, you know, I think a lot of coaching is stealing and borrowing and trying to see what other people are doing, and it's a really good league, and I'm excited to watch you guys tonight and see what your staff are doing and some of the good things your team are doing, and maybe we might borrow some of those things for Lionsbridge, but also for Chihuahua as well.
Okay. All right. Well, my co-host here is a coach, so he's been dying to talk to you.
Yes.
Time.
Yeah, I coach. I'm much younger though.
Okay.
You were just talking about how basically coaches feeding off of each other.
Sure.
However, you can always tell a coach that there's a certain system. They may take something from someone else, but a certain style, a certain identity.
Yeah.
What would you say is the identity on the pitch of Lionsbridge?
I would hope that when you come and watch our games and you watch us play, you're going to say this team is a blue-collar, hard-working team that are aggressive and positive and want to score goals.
Okay.
And I think that meshes well with this community. This is a hard-working, blue-collar, no fuss community. You know, we've got shipyards around here, we've got a lot of industry, and I think because of that, I think our fans have embraced the way we play. You know, I don't think we'll ever be accused of not being physical, and that's something I always want my teams to be.
All right. Awesome. I like that.
I'll be ready to run through a wall for you.
I'm sure you could.
So, being from Lionsbridge, there's a very unique team down in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had your first real derby this year. How was that experience, having a game against Virginia Beach United?
Virginia Beach United, I thought the rivalry was great. I think it's awesome that they've had a great season. It looks like they're going to finish above us in the table, which is disappointing, but I think it's also a good thing because...
I mean, you get the cup. So
we've got the cup,
yeah.
But I'm pleased they've had a good season. I want them to be around for a long time. I want them to be a great program, a great club, and continue to develop, because ultimately then for us, we've got a great rivalry within 30 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm excited about that. You know, ultimately I'd love for some of my college guys to go and play there in the future, so I could be watching them and maybe coaching against them in the summer. But no, I'm pleased, it's cool. Ultimately, I think I'd love it if every town in this area had a semi-pro team, and then the big cities had a pro team like the Kickers, and we all kind of worked together. That would be a really neat thing.
That's so, kind of the thing that we were talking about with Defenders at the Bridge, about how could this be like a possible partnership between Lionsbridge and Rich Kickers? And we were all kind of saying, like, yeah, it's kind of a unique development between two clubs that can work. And it's something that is very weird that in the state of Virginia, you don't have more teams versus like North Carolina or Florida. You have a team in every big city.
Exactly.
Weird,
yeah.
Like, to have
no, I think so. And it's a funny one because there's some very good soccer players in this state as well.
Yes.
Very good soccer players. There's very good Division I programs, very good Division III collegiate program. Really, really strong programs. So, yeah, no, for us, hopefully people are seeing what we're doing. You know, Charlottesville has got an NPSL team. Loudoun's now got a pro team. It's growing. 4 years ago, it was only the Kickers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you've got an NPSL team in Virginia Beach. So ultimately, as we keep growing and the sport keeps growing and more people keep coming out, hopefully it does develop it. Now, we're excited about what we're doing. We are excited about our friends over there on the other side of the water. I want them to be as successful as they can, apart from when they play us.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing. They can't be successful while they are playing you. That's the most key thing. Tonight, when you guys are playing the Kickers, the pro team, and we were saying it before, like, it's weird, like, we're usually the club that's like, oh my God, for having this big team come play us. Talk about it, like you said earlier, this is kind of like your showcase.
Yeah.
You get to show those kinds of things. So how is that?
Well, no, I think, you know, obviously you guys have got, you know, Joe Rice, who played for us last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for some of our guys are probably using this as an opportunity to showcase their abilities. I'm going to talk to them about that in the locker room before. You play well tonight, these guys are going to be looking at you because these guys are playing at the highest level outside of pro soccer in this country. So we're looking at this as an opportunity for them to show what they can do, you know, showcase what they can do for your coaches, and also show that, you know, that we can compete and play with you guys, hopefully. We'll see how well we do. I'm excited about the challenge as a coach, and I'm excited about it. Now, I'm also excited for the fans. You know, I think, you know, Mike talked about this. This is the first time there's been a professional soccer team play on the peninsula.
Yeah.
Even a full professional sports team, I think you might have said. I might be wrong with that quote, but I think that's exciting. And it's exciting that, you know, that we're doing a podcast here talking about soccer. 20 years ago, this wouldn't have been happening.
Exactly.
Soccer's grown. Since I've been in the country, since you guys were kids, soccer's grown massively. And if we can keep growing it and doing things like this, it's got to be a good thing, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, having a player like Joe Rice that played with you last year. How exciting it is for you? I'm pretty sure you probably have like the proud dad moment of seeing him blossom underneath you and then get signed to the Kickers. How was that seeing him come back?
No, I think Ricey called me the day that he got the contract, and he was almost in tears telling me what was going on. I was really fired up for him. Yeah, it's a proud moment. I've had quite a few guys in my career who have played for me either collegiately or, you know, in this sort of league, who've gone on and played professionally, and it is something that makes you very proud. My goal as a kid was to play professional soccer, and I did it for a few years in this country. It was great. Mm-hmm. For these guys who work so hard to get a chance to play soccer and to be paid to do something you love, I'll encourage those guys to do it as long as they can and keep doing it. Because it's a childhood dream, and it's pretty awesome that these guys get to do it. And yeah, it is like a proud dad moment, as you said, yeah. Because you've been a part of it, and hopefully I helped Joe. And hopefully Joe plays really well tonight. Not too well.
I mean, we need him to play well.
Yeah, I know, we need him to play well.
Hopefully he has a great game, and then maybe we'll see how things go. Joe's a great example of someone who's worked really hard at his craft and has improved and done a great job. I'm excited for him to... I was really excited when I found out he got a contract with you guys, and I'm excited for him to stay in the league and have a great career. Because I can... And ultimately, one of the things I like about someone like Joe is Joe embodies what I think is important. He's a hard worker. He wants to improve. He wants to get better. And he's always going to turn up to training and roll up his sleeve and give it his very best.
Yeah.
And they're the types of people you want to have success.
Yeah.
And you do root for.
Yes. I think this will be a big showcase game because he hasn't started a game yet this year. We had a career ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously like this, if he comes out, has a clean sheet, plays well, who knows? You might get an opportunity down the road.
Who knows? And I understand the dynamics of this league. You know, you've got a starting goalkeeper who's very good and very experienced.
Yeah.
You know, and that is what it is. So, you know, and him and I have spoken this season. I'm sure he's been frustrated, as any competitor would be. But I think he's done a good job of staying professional and hopefully learning from a kid. You know, you've got a top keeper in front of him. Can you learn? Can you improve? And when your chance comes, can you be ready to roll?
Exactly.
And, you know, hopefully, like I say, hopefully he's ready to roll. And, for me, I hope it's a great game tonight. I hope he plays really well. And then we'll just leave it at that, shall we?
So, Lions Bridge is definitely a new club. It's only been around for 2 years. Can you talk about your experience, not only coaching, but also seeing the club the first 2 years and what you guys are looking for going into year three?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mike Vest, Kevin Joyce, the owners have done a fantastic job. You know, this is truly a club of the community. I think you'll see that, you know, when you're out at the restaurants and the bars in town and all the shops, that people truly support this club. So for me, I think they've done a great job of that. Our guys have done a really good job of being connected in the community as well. They've done a lot of player appearances, and we've been out there doing a lot of things that I do think are important in minor league sports. You know, being connected with the community is massive. So that's exciting for me, and I think, you know, we had 3,255 people there the other night. That shows the scope for this to happen, this to continue to build and grow. So, you know, I'm excited about being a part of it. You know, my job is ultimately to make sure next year, you know, at this time of the season, we're still in contention to win the league, if not winning the league. Two games to go this year, we could have won the league. We're disappointed we didn't. But I think the growth that we're showing, that we're improving every year, as long as we keep improving, we keep getting better, and everything, you know, as a club keeps improving and getting better, then we're on the track for success. We've had great success in 2 years. We've got to make sure that we're going in the right direction again. And ultimately, that's on the field, that comes down to me and my staff, and off the field, it's down to Mike, and, you know, they've done a great job of it. I think you guys have seen some of that already.
Well, you guys in the league too have a very short season, probably one of the more unique soccer seasons out there. It's truly only 14 games. Is it kind of one of those things where there's no time to waste and you guys got to immediately hit your stride?
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those.
It's crazy because everything can change in a week.
Mm-hmm.
This time last week, we were top of the league. And then you lose two games and you're in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy, crazy league. You know, especially the league that we're in, and it's the Mid-Atlantic, I believe, the teams are so comparable, you know, a win can move you from fifth to first and things like that. So for us, it's one of those where you really have to be, you know, hitting the road straight from the get-go, all guns blazing, trying to win as many games as possible. And then when you get on a winning streak, you've got to try and stay on it. And when you get on a losing streak, you've got to get off it fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you guys have gone through that, and it happens.
Yeah.
You know, USL soccer's like that. You know, you play a lot of games in a short period of time. Ours is probably even more condensed, so it probably personifies that even more. But, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, having a good squad's important. Being able to regenerate and refresh guys is important. And, you know, ultimately, we did a good job this year. We need to do better. We want to be competing for the top of the league. Finishing mid-table, for me, isn't acceptable. We need to do better. But the fact is, we did a really good job and we improved and we were better than we were last year. So that's growth. And ultimately, if you keep growing, sooner or later, you're going to get where you need to.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I did have another question. Is with regards to team selection. It's kind of a two-part question.
Sure.
So the first part of the question is, how do you go about selecting the players around the university in the area, finding out who would fit, you know, and which players are available to play?
Okay, great question. A lot of that, so I work in the Division 2 league, so I'll try and watch a lot of Division 2 games. Mm-hmm. And I'll also try and get out there and watch a lot of Division 1 programs in the area. You know, Williamsburg, you know, get up to Williamsburg, watch William & Mary, mm-hmm. VCU, try and get some of their guys. So Tennant, who's my assistant, he works at ODU, so he has a good handle on those guys in that area. Mm-hmm. Anthony works up in Pennsylvania. And we basically try and use a lot of our connections for players. I think as a coach, just as with your coach, he's probably got friends in the game who are like-minded people mm-hmm. who want players who play a certain way. And then you generally recruit from like-minded people. So we'll go for certain programs and try and recruit guys that fit into our ethos and what we're trying to do as a program, as a club here, and recruit those sorts of players. Now, within that, you know, Luke Brown, who's been one of our top players this year, he jumped online and signed up online and said, look, I'm interested in the club, what's going on? Here's my resume. You know, kid's going to start for Maryland next year. So it's worked out pretty well. I know he was at Hofstra. He's in
Luke Brown.
Yeah, he was all region at them and this.
I'm not gonna lie. Like a lot of y'all players, that I was like, oh, I hope they come play the Kickers for us here. I'm like, I'm now learning they're college players. Like Luke Brown. I can't believe the player that scored 7 goals.
Tebow. Yeah. Tebow's at Campbell. So we had 4 guys now from Campbell who came. You know, we've got a good connection with Campbell. We've got 4 guys from Cornell. We've got a very good connection with John Smith there, and then Dustin at Campbell, Dustin Fonda. So. Coaches who we know, who we can trust, and they also need to trust us. They're sending their children in a way to us for the summer. Mm-hmm. They don't want us to send those boys back injured, fatigued, learning bad habits, and having a summer where they're off doing what college guys sometimes may be doing the summer.
Yeah.
So we want these guys to come here, work really hard, have a great experience, enjoy the beach, enjoy what we've got around here. But ultimately, play in front of big crowds in a really professional environment and try and do things as seriously as possible. And, you know, I think we do a really good job of that. And ultimately, that's why we've had quite a few guys return from last year. And hopefully, again, this year, our best guys want to come back and be part of what we're doing again next year. It helps when you're getting 1,500 people in the crowd every week and you get 3,000 here. It helps even more.
Exactly. The second part of the question was with regards to the flip side of that. We kind of touched on it a little bit with regards to players switching between the way they were gauged to play at the university and the way they were gauged to play for you. So how do you help them with that transition?
It's a great question. I dealt with it a little bit more last year. I think last year we signed some guys who maybe don't play in as much as a similar way as we do here at Lionsbridge. Mm-hmm. This year I think more the guys playing a similar style to the way we actually play. But what I talked to guys about last year, and I think it resonated with them, is if you get a pro contract somewhere, you don't generally pick and choose who wants to sign you. Yeah. If they try and sign you, you generally sign with them. If they play a certain style, you have to adapt to that style. Yeah. It's very unlikely, unless you're Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, we should be totally honest, not many of the guys who are in this league, they're not going to adapt the whole team around you. So we try and talk to the guys and say, look, we want to help you get to the next level. I want as many of my guys who want to play pro as possible. Mm-hmm. To be able to go and play pro at the next level, they need to be able to impress a coach with not just the way they're playing within their style. Can that player adapt to a different style?
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think all coaches want people to work hard. All coaches want people who are technical. All coaches want athleticism and those sorts of things. Yeah. But at this level, everybody's good.
Yeah.
Everybody's fast. Everybody's technical. Everybody can pass. Mm-hmm. A lot of it comes down to the mindset of the, okay, am I going to be able to adapt to a new style? So I think for us, it was teaching guys, we do things differently to our college coach. Your college coaches are wrong, and I'm not wrong. And your next coach you play for isn't wrong. We're just different. Yeah. Different isn't wrong. Different is just different. But embrace that and learn. If they can learn some things from me and from Tennant and Anthony and Fernando, great. And if they can take that back to their college programs and help those programs improve, great. And if that gives them an opportunity when they go out and pro teams are looking at them in combines or whatever, great. We've now adapted them with more probably strings to their bow to give themselves a chance to get a pro contract. Because ultimately, that's what a lot of this league is about. It has to be a shot window.
Exactly.
To get these guys to the next level. And ultimately, if they truly want that goal and that dream of being a pro soccer player, they're going to try and listen and learn and adapt. In my opinion, we're all right.
So you're from England, so you will probably know. Is it the role you have as a coach of being here at Lions Bridge, is that almost the same role as, say, like a Manchester United U21s coach, where it's like you have these guys for a short part of the season, but you know, like at any moment, not any moment, but at the end of the year, this team is going to be totally different the following year?
In certain ways, yeah. In certain ways, it's like dealing with a professional team's youth club. Yeah, I do think that. I don't know about Man United, but... it's very similar that you're dealing with young men. You know, a lot of guys we've got a few older guys on here, but you know, most of these guys are under the age of 24. You know, the male adolescent brain doesn't finish developing until the age of 24, they say.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with young guys, and we can really help them and shape them. So I think it's like, as you were talking about, I think it's a very important, you know, years for their development. And they can still learn good habits and bad habits at this age. So, yeah, it's pretty cool because we are, as you said, it's very similar to that. And it's really, really cool. The one thing I think is cool, and I talk to my parents and, you know, friends in the UK a lot. I had a friend of mine over from Preston North End. He's the chief scout for Preston. He was blown away by us getting the crowds we get. Because, obviously, the under-21s... In England, even in the Premier League, the under-21s don't get 3,000 people watching a play.
Yeah.
They don't get the sorts of crowds. They don't get the support, the infrastructure and those sorts of things. You know, we're getting crowds here, just like you guys get crowds, which are, you know, bigger than some League One teams in the United Kingdom, in Britain, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
So, and it's pretty cool for our college guys. That, you know, I coach college soccer. There's not many times that we play in front of 1,000 people. And outside of the top Division One programs, not many Division One guys play out over 1,000 people week in, week out. That's the thing that I think is pretty cool about this environment. But we also talk to guys, that's important about being a pro. Mm-hmm. I'm sure your guys deal with it. You've lost a couple of games. It happens. But they still have to go and sign autographs after the game. Even when they're upset, even if the coach hasn't picked them, even if you're not playing well and the team doesn't win, you've still got a service and a duty to the community. And we talked a lot about our guys, win or lose, you need to go and sign autographs. You need to go and engage with that crowd. Because the crowd is what ultimately is putting this team. If it wasn't for the crowd, we probably wouldn't have a team.
Yeah.
So you've got to stay engaged. And I think that's part of being a pro. Showing, you know, the correct attitude and correct professionalism when things don't go your way. And life isn't always going to go your way.
Yeah.
We've all gone through things, but how are you going to act when you go through things? Yeah. You know, it's quite easy to storm off to the locker room. That's not what a pro coach wants you to do. So I'm trying to say to these guys, look, you've still got to go over there. It might really stink. But you need to shake hands, sign autographs and have pictures. Because some of the kids in the crowd might not know that you've lost 2-0. They just want a picture with you because you're number 10 or you're number 7. And that's really important to them in those moments. Exactly. You're Joe Rice with the long hair. And last year, before he dyed it, all the kids and all the girls love Joe Rice with the long hair. But that's important. So we talk about that. So I think that is important. I do really think it's massive at this level.
Well, Coach, we're going to let you go and get ready for the game tonight.
Appreciate
it. Just thank you so much for taking the time to come talk to us lonely podcasters.
All right, awesome. Cheers, guys. Thanks for having us.
Good luck, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, City 93, we have the owner. I guess you pretty much do everything here at the club. We see you doing everything besides what, selling beer, maybe, maybe not?
Buying the beer.
We have a Mr. Mike Vest. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys being here.
No, no problem, man. Look, it was a great turnout. We were even talking to Buzzsaw supporters group about how the stands, even when you guys were down 5-0, was still loud, still packed.
Yeah.
And everything we've heard about this club was about the culture and building that. Can you talk about like how you guys are building the culture here?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I think, I don't know, it's hard to define it when you're in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think it's still new. You know, I mean, we've been around, we were thinking about this earlier today. This is our 18th all-time home game, just 18.
Wow.
So, you know, the whole thing still is still pretty surreal. But what's been amazing is the amount of support that we get night in and night out, even on a Tuesday night. You know, this is our 9th home game since May 22nd, which is a lot of home games. So, you know, we're getting to the point now where we expect the fans to turn out no matter what night of the week it is, no matter what the weather is. And we had a game a couple weeks ago where it was just an absolute downpour. We had to delay the game by an hour. We still had 1,000 people out here that night too.
Wow.
So it's just a testament to the community, you know, their love for the game. And they've really put their arms around the club in a way that we couldn't, you know, we really couldn't even ask for.
So this is the end of the off season. Season 2 is wrapped up in the books. What's the big goal for season 3?
I think we just want to keep getting better across the board. I mean, I think we're just scratching the surface of what it could be here. You know, we've got great crowds. They can get bigger. We've got a good team. We can be better. Operationally, you know, I think we can put on a bigger show, a better show. Where we're at right now is good. And the feedback we get from people is all positive. But, you know, I think we just want to keep getting better in all areas.
Okay.
So with this club, I mean, already paying dividends with regards to the support you guys have in the neighborhood, in the community. What are there any, like, maybe expansion, promotion aspirations for the club for the future, for the near future?
You mean, like, from a competitive standpoint on the field?
Competitive standpoint, size.
Sure.
Growth.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I think if you're a competitive person, you want to take whatever you have as far as you can take it. What's the ceiling on what we can do here? I don't know. I don't think we can see it from here. You know, I think it feels like I said, we're just kind of getting started. But I think, you know, when we think about moving up a level or doing anything like that, you've got to have the level of support that the Richmond Kickers have. You've got to have the level of support that other USL League One and championship league teams have, and we're not there yet in numbers. We're there in passion. We need to bring more people along for the ride. So, you know, we're not really complacent with where we're at from an attendance standpoint. You know, we try not to compare ourselves to really anybody else. We just think about how can we keep digging deeper into our community and having deeper roots, because I think, you know, the more involved we are in the community, the more, you know, we don't need to be the most famous team in even in Virginia. We need to be the most famous team on the peninsula. You know, so, you know, there's 500,000 people on the peninsula. So if we can just keep making inroads in the peninsula, you know, whatever happens after that will all be great, whether that's here in League 2 or doing something else down the line. But, you know, we try not to get too wrapped up in kind of where are we going to be. Like, I know everyone loves like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. I mean, we're just trying to put on a good game this coming Saturday. Like, we're already thinking about, like, we've got one more game. It's our season finale this week. You know, let's make sure that we do a good job that game. And then we've got the fortunate and unfortunate thing about League 2. We've got plenty of time to think about it in the off season. We won't play another game out here until next May. So, you know, you get on all these games in about an 11-week period, and then you sit around for about 8 months thinking about how you're going to do it better in those 11 weeks when they come back around. So, you know, I'm not really sure where it all goes from here. But like I said, I think that there's a lot of potential. The support we have already is amazing. The city support behind it's great. And you know, we'll see what happens in the future.
Coach, I mean, everything you're talking about is pretty much what we saw out here today. Like, just
a lot of your fans and supporters, they don't not look at it from the big picture. They're like, take it day by day, and they really embrace the values that you got. You're talking about right now. And that's impressive to see. That's when you know you have the supporters on your side, when they, even like to us, are talking about the values of the club.
Well, and I think, I mean, I'm glad that everyone feels that way, because I think you've got to enjoy where you're at, and I think we always get caught looking ahead and not appreciating kind of the moment and what we have right now. And what we have right now is pretty awesome.
It is.
And there's about 70 USL League 2 teams that would trade spots with us in terms of the support. You know, but I think too, you know, we can continue. Oh, you want to come on in, Joe? Come on in, Joe. You've been a part of this.
Hey, Mike Vest, best president ever.
Stop that.
Man is a genius.
I would say we'd write him a check, but now he's already getting a check. So, all right. No better way to lose your train of thought than getting the keeper to wrap his arms around you.
I mean, that's a great segue. Like, how cool is it to see a guy that you had last year, your first inaugural year, come back?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we're lucky. We had four guys sign pro contracts last year, but in two in England and one in Sweden, and Joe, and you know, we're excited for all those guys. It's especially awesome to be able to see Joe come back and have a game where he can play here, where, you know, he that guy was a fan favorite last year. You guys probably saw it tonight, but man, he was the last one to leave to sign autographs. Tonight he was the last one signing autographs every single game last year, because everybody loved Joe. I mean, just the absolute nicest guy, and we're so happy that he's found a home in professional soccer, because he absolutely deserves it.
We're glad to have him.
Great guy. So it's great.
Anything else?
I just wanted to ask one thing. I'm just curious, because I know, I mean, seeing something this, I would say successful, because what you've done here for Lionsbridge FC is, this is success. Having just a friendly in the middle of the week, and the stadium is packed, and everyone stays until the final whistle. Were there any challenges when you first started with the other two guys to start getting Lionbridge FC off the ground? Were there any challenges that you faced in the beginning stages? What were they?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think the biggest thing is you don't know whether – I mean, we worked on it for – we had a really long runway. We started planning this out in the spring of 2017, and we didn't play until, you know, May 2018. And so I think the biggest thing was we poured a lot of planning and a lot of time into it. And because it had never been done here before, it's actually scary, because you're like, I hope this is going to work, you know, like, and every indicator you get is good, because, you know, people are buying season tickets, and, you know, we do watch parties for U.S. soccer, because, you know, it hadn't all fallen apart yet for U.S. soccer yet. And we were doing that type of stuff, and people were coming out, and you could see that, like, there was a soccer community. But we just there was really no proof of concept here, and so it was scary. I mean, I think some of the biggest challenges that we had were just kind of just being new to the whole thing, you know, and not knowing in some ways what we didn't know. So, but like I said, the community's gotten behind it. Seeing you, I mean, this is an unbelievable facility for a USL League 2 team. Field could probably be a little bit wider, but the stands are full. You know, it's a great place to be. Everyone in our community comes here already for CNU football games and soccer games and basketball games. So, you know, we didn't have to educate people on, oh, well, where's Pamoco Stadium and that type of thing. So, you know, we've had a lot of great partners and a lot of people that saw the same vision that we had from the beginning. So, I mean, it's definitely not easy, but we had a lot of people kind of rowing the boat the same direction.
Well, I mean, we got amazing content from you and everyone else. It's been an amazing time here, man. I just want to say thank you personally for allowing us to get our first ever media passes.
Like that. We got to talk to Patrick Wood about this. That seems unreasonable to me.
I mean, we're learning.
Yeah, man. Great.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
Best of luck to you guys next year, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, hopefully we'll be able to do this again and maybe not see a similar result in future games, but
we liked it.
I bet. But we're, like I said, our season ends Saturday, but we're looking forward to getting up to Richmond and seeing a few more League One games now that our season's going to be over, and cheering on the Kickers and standing up for Richmond.
Hey, yeah. So.
you want to know where you can go check out the latest podcast and your favorite MLS, USL Championship, and League One team, then I would tell you to go check out BGN, Big Beautiful Game Network. The website is bgn.fm.
What's going on, guys? This is After the Game. We are here with the Clean Sheet King, Joe Rice. How does it feel to be at home, man?
Hey, man, it's sweet. The environment here is just always awesome. Gets me pumped to play, and obviously had to keep a clean sheet coming back home to the summer team.
Hey, I definitely respect that, man. How was it getting your first true start for the Richmond Kickers? How was it?
It was good. It's just about just all getting your confidence underneath your feet. Just about just making the plays you have to do and just being there for the team just whenever they call you. And it's just good to get that clean sheet, good to get that confidence, and go back home with a win.
I'm not gonna lie, some of us was joking up in the stands that the blonde hair was the reason you kept the clean sheet. Is there any reason behind the blonde hair?
Nah, there's not. It's just a change up, just a little summertime vibe.
Okay. So how was it playing at Lions Bridge last year? How was that coming back here now?
Oh, it was sweet. I'm looking at some of the fans here now, trying to get, I'm going to make my rounds and say hi. I recognize a few in this stadium. So it's just good to be at a place where I did well and they welcome me back. So.
No, we definitely saw it. We saw a picture of you and a couple of young fans. So it seems like you are the hometown king here. Like, they love you here.
Oh, no, it's a good time. These people give love to us. We got to give it right back.
So let's get a little bit out there on the field. You made a couple of great saves. Not having to, this is your first true start. Can you kind of talk to us how you kept yourself mentally in the game, not having to start many games?
Absolutely. So my biggest thing with games like this is just my communication, just being able to be engaged, keeping up with the play, whether or not like I got to go and get a pass from down in the sideline or I got to cut out a play in the middle of the field. Just, I'd have to say just, continue my communication on the field keeps me engaged.
Okay.
So it's a good time.
Well, man, we'll let you go out and meet with the fans. We thank you so much for everything you've done for us, man. Hopefully we see you get a couple of starts for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
No problem, man. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, of course.
All right. What do you got? Go on.
What's going on, Coach? How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm
nice
good.
Nice 5-0 win.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it.
You know, two friendlies, 11 goals scored, none conceded. We saw some of the changeups. What kind of things were y'all working on that you can kind of allude us to?
We're just trying to get more effective in the attacking third, and I think we're on the right track. Obviously, you know, DC United's U23s and this group in the League 2 team is not the same level they're playing against the top of the league this weekend, but, you know, some of goal scoring is confidence and belief, and so it certainly feels good to score 11 goals in two games.
I mean, one thing that we saw tactically that was a lot different, we saw Ivan really start out on the left fullback position. Any hints about that? Or?
Yeah, we're just giving a look there. Scott's injured right now, so okay. But he's going to help us with a little bit of depth. It doesn't look like Booba's going to come back anytime soon, so we're looking for some rotation for opportunities to play at center back and left back. So,
any players out here tonight that surprised you that you was like, oh, I was expecting this performance out of them?
No, not really. I love my guys. I've always believed in them. You know, it's hard. Even the run of form that we've had, I didn't think we were that far off. But the table doesn't lie. The scoreline doesn't lie. So nobody really surprised me. I was really pleased with all the academy kids. So that's good for them to come out here. And I'm delighted that the guys on the team were excited. Alex scored a goal. They wanted Key to get involved. So it's good to see Sam, who trains with us every day, and Ethan get a good run. So that's the exciting part for me, and these are opportunities to bring the next generation of kickers through. So,
hey, it was an impressive game. Now, what were some – we've heard a lot that there was a lot of tactics changes that we saw. So for those that couldn't be in the game, can you kind of describe some of those things y'all kind of changed out?
No way, because North Texas might be listening to the best podcast in all the League One game.
Oh,
take that, League One
that's
fun.
Great. That's great.
Take that, League One fun.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know. We haven't changed much. We're just trying to change some of the thoughts and ideas to try to get ourselves in better goal-scoring positions. So.
Well, we also know this is like the midway point of the season. It hasn't ended the way how you wanted it to, but reflecting back at the midway point, what are some things that you learned and some things you're like, all right, we did really great at that?
I think our defending turned the corner after we lost to North Texas last. I think we've defended quite well. I think a lot of things have gone against us, which, I mean, some of the bad luck that we have, you know, it's that can't last an entire season. So our time's going to come. The season's too long. It's way too long. Nobody's handing out any trophies at this point of the year.
Definitely. Well, Coach, thank you so much for everything you've done.
You're not going to let DC talk?
I mean, hey, DC look.
At halftime, I just saw this flash of red, and I said, what was that?
He's out here playing for a contract.
And then all I saw was just arms out celebrating, running around to the crowd, celebrating with the red arms. So I'm sure he's out of breath. But
oh, no, yeah. No, I'm good now. I'm good now. But I did want to ask you, with regards to some of the players that, like you said, players like Ethan Manheim coming in and putting in a decent performance.
I think he had three clearances.
At least three decent, solid, letting them know you're there clearances. And so what is that? Do you see players like that, that maybe after college coming back to the Kickers, do you see growing the Kickers program in itself? A lot of them came out of Richmond United.
Sure, that would be my hope. I mean, the tricky part about it is eligibility. You know, once they go to school, it's hard to get these guys back in. But maybe college, NCAA changes the rules and we get an opportunity because, we love what the League 2 is for what these college kids come back for the summer. But if you have the ability, why not give these kids an opportunity to play in the championship or League One and maintain their amateur status, even if it's for part of the summer? So it's not an easy solution. But, yeah, I mean, I want to give kids a chance and show them there is a path, you know, and especially the kids that grew up, you know, you show up in the stadium as a 10-year-old, you play for the club, you go through the whole pyramid. Why not give them an opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anything else?
No, that'll be it.
All right, Coach. Well, we know you got to go to the locker room, talk to the boys and whatnot. We thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
All right, boys. Love your show. Keep it up.
Thank you, man.
All right.
All right,
you go.
Hey, guys. I have a question. Did you ever have a shirt that doesn't fit quite right or just not stylish enough anymore? Well, I can solve that problem for you. Go check out AtomicLotusApparel.com. to find an awesome design for t-shirts at a great price. Also, while you're on the site, go check out the new River City 93 t-shirt and tell us what you think about it.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Golden Gold Press and Roughneck Scarves. It is late at night. Just got finished with the Lionsbridge game. We are recording in my car on the way back home. We got the call from the missus, so can't hang out no more.
No, can't hang out no more.
You gotta get home.
Adulting sucks.
It very much does. I mean, trust me, we love our wives. Love you very much. Richmond wins 5-0 against Lionsbridge. A very impressive game. A game in which we both thought there were going to be a lot of substitutions. More starters starting than what we anticipated. I thought it was going to be more subs. Early on, Maxie had a little knock. I'm trying to think, what else?
He had two in the first half.
Yeah, he did.
And I was very concerned with that.
I think we were both yelling like, "Hey, take him off!
Exactly.
Put him in bubble wrap. We need him for this weekend."
Exactly.
Outside of that, it was what we heard a lot was it was going to be some new things, some new tactics. And it's always like you hear that, but you never really know to see. And it's something we saw early on.
Yeah, very early on, we saw very different dynamic with the Kickers in this game.
Yeah, it was a lot more pushing up the field. I think you said something about how they were passing in the midfield. I can't pick up on it, but you caught up on it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the passing that was going on in the midfield. The link between the midfield and the back line in terms of getting the ball out of the back. And sometimes they push the ball back to the goalie if there's nothing there. But then the thing that really caught my eye was the fact that they would pass around. Everyone knows the Kickers like to play out of the back, but then there were sometimes they just hit a long ball and catch somebody out on the wing who's now running into space. So this makes the Kickers harder to defend against because they're more unpredictable.
Yeah. And
that's a big asset. It's a big, big, big asset.
No, that is true. And I think a lot of things that was frustrating me was there was no connector passes in the middle to build the play up to getting forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second minute, we saw that where I think the ball gets passed out wide and then Joey G slots the ball in. It takes a little deflection, but Greg takes a beautiful touch, nutmegs a player and scores. Something that we were missing before. Player of note that kind of caught our attention was Ivan. Yeah.
Playing in a position we haven't seen him before. He played at left back rather than center back.
I think there's only two players that played a full 90 minutes. I think it was Akira did not play at all. Akwe and Ivan. I think there were only two players that played 90 minutes from what I can remember. It's late at night, so someone just fact-check me later.
Those are the only two, I think, that played the entire 90 minutes.
Yeah, but Ivan, like Bulo said in the interview that you listened to earlier, he pretty much was trying him out in a new position because, like you said, Scotty has an injury, and Boubacar Keita, we don't know if he's coming back or not because he's been playing for Columbus Crew. I'm not going to lie, even though it's a League 2 team, I didn't see the game against DC United. You know, he looked fairly impressive. He had a couple of moments where he got caught in possession, things that we were like, before that we were like kind of like red fans, like, yo, he got caught, but he recovered well. Got up top very quickly, played a couple of good balls in. So I like what I saw from him.
I mean, he had a moment in the first half. We saw it, and we went crazy when he just, cool as a cucumber, took that touch, megged the player, got past him, just moved up the field, made some passes. I mean, he was...
He did have a little bit of flair.
He did have a lot of flair. He played really, really well.
Yeah, he did. Another player that impresses was Eckenrode. I mean, outside of the glorious goal he had.
Oh, that thunderstrike right there.
Right. I mean, he played kind of in a more forward position. I want to say he wasn't like a number 10, but he was kind of like a number 6, but was given the ability to push up when needed to.
Yeah.
And I think that fits Eckenrode well. I think Eckenrode is the kind of player, he's not a number 8, but if you allow Eckenrode to be in a position where, all right, I have someone like Maxi behind me that can do the dirty work, I have someone such as Gariardo, if he's going to play that number 10, that can be the creator. Eckenrode is a great player that can kind of be that box-to-box and pick and choose his spots. And that's something that impressed me a lot with him. He has some good passes. He did get knocked off the ball here and there, but I think that was just more him trying to force stuff and create where he didn't have to.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your boy.
Hey, of course he's not officially on the Kickers team. But
I mean, you can adopt him.
I mean, he's not officially on the
Taxes.
Kickers team. He's heading off to college.
Taxes.
He's heading off to college, so, you know. There's, you know, the eligibility issue there. But Ethan Mannheim came on in the second half to play center back alongside Akwe. I think he had about three
good
solid tackle clearances. And, I mean, you could see he was on point. I mean, I could see by his body language right before the starting whistle for the second half that you could tell he was a bit nervous about being out there playing on a higher level than he's used to playing in Richmond United Academy. But he definitely acquitted himself very well.
He looked very much the part. He looked solid. I mean, one of the tackles, he literally stopped the goal-scoring chance.
Yes.
Because it played in behind him, and he tracked it beautifully. Because like, most defenders, i.e. me, will panic in that situation and be like, cool, I'm taking him out. We're getting the pin. That's what it is, coach. But he played it. He stood him up tall, waited for him to make his move, and just slotted the ball past him and played it well. Hats off to him. Another player that, you know, was really good, Joel Rice, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, him being a hometown kid, you can tell Lionbridge loved him.
Yes.
But he had, you know, he was talking to Joe, too, about how he had a couple of moments where he came up with some big saves, like Akira-type saves.
Yeah.
And he distributed the ball really well, something that I was impressed to see because we haven't seen him play.
Yeah.
But I was impressed to see it with him because he was able to... He had a beautiful ball wide to, I think it was Ivan. It was like pinpoint.
Yeah.
Now, Ivan was in space, but how many times have you seen keepers kick that ball, and that ball either goes too far...
And then now the winger has to bust a gut to get to it because it's out of position.
It was literally like it caught him in stride, and he was able to go and make the play. And that was something impressive to see. So if Akira does have to miss a game, I feel comfortable putting Rice in there and letting him go. I would like to see Rice get more playing time.
Who's
the other player we saw?
Matt. I mean, also Matt, because I feel that not enough happened, because he came on in the 60th minute as in goal, and not enough happened on our end, on our defending half of the field to really showcase what he's capable of.
I would say this.
He had one save, and that was it.
Yeah,
and
it was a pretty straightforward one. Matt saw more pressure, more scoring chances against him than, I would say, Joe did.
Yeah.
Matt, the only thing that concerns me about Matt is him coming off his line. Because there was a couple of times where I was like, all right, is he going to get there quick? And he got there. But against Chattanooga, against Lansing, where the players are a lot quicker, a lot more depth.
Is he going to be able to get there?
Yeah. So that's the only thing against Matt. He had a good game. Cut the clean sheet. That was the most important thing. Had some good saves. He actually had a great save where I think the ball is shot from the left and he pushes it to the right.
Yeah.
Out wide. Strong save. So that's good to see. Who's the other player we said that impressed us? Was it someone else on the beginning?
I mean, there's
It's late.
Yeah.
We forget a lot of people.
Hey guys, this is Elliot real quick. The player that we couldn't remember at the time because we were really tired is Braden Troyer. From playing in the game, from what we saw, he was kind of playing the center defensive mid role and he pushed up a lot. Actually created, I think, two chances. So anyone that's a fan of the Richmond Kickers know seeing Troyer create chances is almost like seeing a leprechaun with a pot of gold. So we were really impressed with him. Maybe this is something new that Bielo is going to put out there. We don't know yet, but it was kind of interesting wrinkle to see. So that's all. We just had to put that in there. Back to the podcast.
But the, all in all, the Kickers, you could see changes. You could see some differences in the way that they were playing, the way they were going about the game. There was a little bit more freedom in the way they were moving around the field.
It did, and that's something like they didn't look at it didn't look as if they were overthinking the situation.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like that thing, like in their flow. And then granted, when you score a goal in the second minute, that loosens you up a lot.
Exactly.
But, you know, how many times have we seen the Kickers get in that situation of like, oh my God, like I don't want to make that mistake. Now granted, they did lose the ball kind of cheapishly in midfield, but I think that's more of a quality thing. Because if like this is a top team in like MLS, you know, doing this, they're not losing the ball. But overall, what I saw, I'm impressed with. There are a couple of players that I wish I couldn't see more of. I want to say, and no one disappointed us. When you score five goals, it's hard to find someone that disappointed you. Jackson, the goal, he missed the goal chance.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he created a lot.
Oh, he did.
He was one-on-one with the keeper. I feel like, and I don't know if he overthought the situation or what, but, you know, that's something I feel like if he scores that, that builds up his confidence a lot going into North Texas.
One player that I feel I didn't see enough of was Lucas.
Man, we were cheering so hard for Mendez.
Yes, Lucas Mendez. I don't know if it's because he's still not completely 100% yet, but I mean, he came on late in the first half and then didn't even start the second half. So that makes me feel that it may have something to do with the fact that he may not be quite.
Well, we also saw 100% with Chan. Like, yet. Chan came on at the 25th minute and then got subbed off and then he played the rest. So I think it was just like playing substitutions, like, hey, you play 25, you play 25. I think it was just overall rotation because by the end of the night, I think we saw four or five academy kids playing?
Yeah.
Which is impressive because that's something that, you know, Richmond is built on the youth. And to see those kids get the opportunity to make chances, I think we had one youth product score a goal. I'm probably going to mess up his name. Living Good scored. He scored a beauty.
Yeah. Scored a beauty. Pace, power, and composure all in one.
Don't get us wrong. He scored a beauty. So overall, I think since the start of June, I mean, granted, we played two friendlies. DC United, U23s, we scored six. Lions Bridge, two. By the way, shout out to Lions Bridge. The atmosphere was top-notch. I can't say nothing negative, but I'm probably coming back to watch a game next year.
Yes.
Even though it's League 2. Like,
even though it's League 2, the atmosphere was
top-notch, man. It was top-notch.
It was bumping, definitely.
even when they were down 5 goals, 85th minute, they were still rocking.
They were still rocking. I think I saw probably maybe just 6-7 people leave early. And
because they had to take the kids home.
Yeah, because
I have to get you home so your wife doesn't kill me. by the way.
But so yeah, no, that apart from that, everyone else sat in the stands and cheered their team on until the ref blew the final whistle.
Yeah, most definitely.
And that's commendable. I mean, the atmosphere was great. The players, they played well. The fans were just, they were there from beginning to end.
They were.
And it's something that, it's definitely something to tip our hat to, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I tip my hat to
them. Shout out to them, man. Shout out to all the Red Army members that came down.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was a great atmosphere, great fun. If you're looking for a club to kind of get into, kind of like niche club, if you're in the 7-5 area, for those who don't know, the 7-5 area is Hampton, Newport News, Portsmouth, Virginia Beach, Suffolk, Williamsburg. I'm forgetting the city. I know I am.
Yorktown.
No. It's 7 cities. It's a lot. But if you're in this area near the coastline of Virginia, or you're in the amateur soccer, like our guys, Amateur Hour, with Ben and them, check out Lions Bridge. It's a great, great egg to go check out. So our upcoming game is against the league leaders, North Texas. And if you want to, why you gotta start off depressed? See, I'm trying to be upbeat, and you already deep. So I mean,
you got it. I'm thinking that way because of
the 3-0 beating.
No, it's not just because of that. It's just, I feel that the entire league is an uphill battle against North Texas because of what they have already.
Yeah, I mean, now granted, Pepe's up in FC Dallas, and by the way, like, that's what I think League One is built for, is getting those youth academy products up to the first team, mm-hmm. for those D2 teams, and Pepe set the trend. Ronaldo has 9 goals. He's the league leader. I'm pretty sure we're going to see Savanya. It's going to be a couple of other guys. I can't think of their names right now. The thing I'm looking for most in this game is I want the kickers to build upon what they've done in the last 2 friendlies. The clean sheet, the ability to play through the middle, the adaptability, and take that into this next game against North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see an improvement because that North Texas game arguably was our worst game of this season.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I would love to see a clean sheet. I would love to see us nick a 1 go off of them. Like I said in the last podcast, if we're going to be the upset kings, it starts this week.
Yeah.
I'm also looking to see, you know, can Bulo learn from his mistakes against North Texas? Did he get some tactics wrong? Yes. We all saw him. Can he learn from those? Can he build upon them? Can he get them better? I believe he will, so that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And like he said, ever since that game, there was a turning point with the defense.
Yeah.
And defensively, that the kickers have been strong. So with that, like you said, being able to try and keep a clean sheet, weather the storm against them, I think we have a chance. We have a very good chance of, you know, maybe nicking a 0-0.
Yeah.
Maybe even getting lucky and scoring a goal, especially now with some players having that chip on their shoulder now that they've gotten a goal today. Yes, it's against Lionsbridge SC, but let's look at, you know, let's look at the bigger picture here. Sometimes you just need to get that 1 goal to build that confidence.
I mean, you even
and
saw
even it, against a bigger team.
You even saw it after Joey G celebrated like he scored a league of the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great to see, you know, early on. Because it's always weird when you're playing a friendly. You're always like, all right. First of all, you don't want to get anyone hurt. But you also want to stick in the rhythm of what you're in.
Yeah.
And now, granted, I know people are like, oh, you played a League 2 team. They lost the last, 2 games of the season?
Mm-hmm.
But, like Cole said in the interview earlier, 2 games ago, they were in top of the league.
Yeah.
So you're playing a team in form.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. You know, so that's kind of impressive to see. And hopefully it's a building rivalry.
Yeah.
Anything else, my man, before we head out on the road?
No. This was our first road trip. This was fun. We enjoyed it. We got to meet a lot of great people down there in Lionsbridge. A great atmosphere, great people, great community.
Yeah, man. So with that being said, guys, you can follow us on Twitter at RiverCity93. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Breaker, Outcast, Pocket Cast, Google Play. It is late at night. I'm sleepy.
yeah.
You can also check out our sponsors, Golden Gold Press, for all your custom t-shirts, hat design, mugs, and everything else at goldengoldpress.com. You can also check out Refneck Scarves, your official scarf supplier for MLS, USL, and everything else. And you can also check us out at the Beautiful Game Network, where you can get all your content sourced for USL, League One, Championship, and MLS, and pretty much more. So with that being said, this is Elliot.
This is Shaneer.
Keep us on the good side.